The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, I'm so excited to have everyone back, but I'm even more excited to have our guest on today. He is the managing partner at Urusi Holdings, Mr. Jason Urusi. How are you today, sir? Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Cody, I'm doing awesome. Psyched to be here.
Hey, well, listen, the excitement's honestly all on my side of the mic, if you will, or the Zoom call as we are. So I'm really happy to have you here. But for those that maybe haven't come across you in the space yet, haven't found you on the socials, would love to get a little bit of background about where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days.
Sure. Yeah. I grew up in New Jersey. I'm now down here in Tennessee, just south of Nashville. We started in a couple different forms of real estate back in 2013, flipping, wholesaling, but transitioned into multifamily and actually large multifamily in 2016. First acquisition was a 94 unit in 2017. We've done, I think, 11 syndications to date, totaling somewhere around $85 million in real estate, with everything from a 32 unit to a 284 unit, where our assets are spread out across those five states. We continue to look for properties that are underperforming, whether it's on the management side or property side. Typically, we find it in both and go in there and put best in class third-party management, improve the operations, and find the intricacies that we can continue to add value with.
Man, I love that. Love the value add stuff. I mean, you guys are crushing. I was looking over the website just one more time before we chatted today. And honestly, you guys do it really well. So appreciate you jumping on and telling us a little bit about that. But Jason, you know, the reason we're talking today is as successful as y'all are, I would imagine it hasn't always been incredibly easy for you guys. I'm sure you've had your bumps and bruises, maybe a couple of failures along the way, but want to see for our audience, something you could bring up today that would maybe help educate them on something you went through and hopefully help them either avoid it or get out of it if they're currently finding themselves in a situation like that.
Yeah, sure. So you have to imagine when you have a building that's, you know, 100 units, 50 units, 200 units, right? There's a ton of living people there. So 50, 100, 200, 300 people living there. So your pro forma is great to get yourself out of the gate, but these are living people in a building here that's going to, of course, the narrative's going to change. So we've had simple things where we took over a property. The inspection showed that everything was in good working order, and 3 months in, the lift station that was running the sewer completely shut down, and the park components were on 3 month back order. So that actually took the water down to the entire building. We were able to get it back up with a brand new system in 3 days, but luckily we had put together the team here that handled it in a great way with the tenants, right? Put them in the best position to understand what was happening, how we were dealing with it. But it gave us a whole nother light on just how we have to make sure that it's always the tenant experience can be the best it can be, right? Because in these scenarios, this is not something that anybody wants. The tenant doesn't want this. The ownership doesn't want this. And the through line here was that you had to continue to find the pieces to get this back on par, right? Because the first initial conversation is that this system, the rack that actually put this system in, was made overseas. You won't be able to get one for a couple months. And of course, that narrative is not going to work, right? So you have to keep asking that question and have the people around you that can support that question to find the solution. And that's many times in life what happens is that we get put in positions here where we accept the answer. But if we believe there's a yes, you have to continue to seek that yes. Because that's a lot what happens with entrepreneurship is that, oh, I have this idea. I'm going to go out there and do this. And someone says, it's a bad idea. You say, it must be a bad idea. Right. Instead of saying, hey, I believe in myself. I believe in the task at hand. And ultimately for us, you know, this project, we knew this project could be successful. We just had to find the solution to get ourselves back on track where this wasn't part of our initial underwriting. Of course, this wasn't part of our investment philosophy. This was something that happened. And we looked at the event here, put the focus on the event, got the event corrected and got it back into part.
Well, and that's really interesting because to your point, your pro forma looks great on the front end, but it's really managing that property, the people and everything that goes along with it afterwards that really helps make the numbers flow and making sure that you're going to stay on track there. I don't know just because of what you're saying, but I would imagine that wasn't probably your first construction issue that y'all have run into or challenge that you face in a property like that. But kind of things did you have to go through, processes that you have in place that you'd maybe learned from previously that helped you prepare for something like that? Because to be quite frank, my partner is fantastic on the construction job, but if it were just me, I'd be lost and, you know, I'd find a way, but initially I'd be lost. I wouldn't even know where to begin. So how do you prep or prepare or find solutions for something like that as others are finding themselves in a similar situation?
You know, I come from a couple generation construction background, heavy construction. So I have that aptitude. However, if I'm 1,000 miles away, I'm going to be only as good as the partners on the ground, right? So you have to make sure that when you're putting together your team, you have your internal team that maybe you wearing all the hats, but you know, you're underwriting your due diligence, your lead generation, your capital raising and others, right? And then you have your other part that's your external team that may be your brokers, maybe your bankers, maybe your insurance people, maybe your property manager, right? Maybe your contractors, right? But making sure you're setting yourself up with people who are fluent in the operation of what you're looking to make and improve on. And so you can usually lean on those people in times that you need their help, that's just day-to-day operations, right? So turning the unit to when times change over and there's disruption, right? So a sewer line collapses, you know, something with electrical, a unit has a rotted floor, right? You fill in the blank. Right. And so when you look at that narrative here, you're going to have to continue to put yourself in position to find good team members. And the same thing is not take their word that they're great at it, but understand how they've succeeded in other projects that they're going to be able to carry through that on yours. Most time, and just even a thought on life, is that a lot of people keep saying, like, I'm not lucky, so I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to try hard where I am. I'm not going to try great in what I do. And so when the opportunity comes, they say, I'll just show up then, right? But nobody's ready at that time. Nobody's ready at that moment to be able to go out there and perform because they haven't put themselves in a good place. So I'm looking for people that consistently show up in any part, right? In any job, and that they could be able to carry that forward to what happens on our property.
Well, perfect. And for those that are listening, I'm interested to know, you know, you're 1,000 miles away from some of your properties. When you're investigating into a market, how are you finding these partners that'll inevitably be your boots on the ground, middle of the night phone call people when something inevitably goes wrong? What's your advice for those that are looking at markets not in their backyard and finding and structuring those partnerships?
Yeah, so we get really dialed in the market, right? So we're going to look at population growth, we're going to look at job growth, we're going to look at job diversity, we're going to look at the number of units coming online. We're going to look at the unemployment rates there. We're going to look, of course, at the household incomes. We're going to look at path of progress and where the submarkets we're going to invest in. We're going to continue to dial that out so we get to the areas we want to be. Then we're going to look at if we do know other operators there. Who are they working with, right? Because if you can get good referrals to other people, whether it be an operator or through your banker or through another referral, a trusted referral, that carries sort. And it's easier to connect people who are used to working together instead of taking three or four rogue parties and trying to connect them in the middle here. So when you think about you, you work with a banker you like, well, the bankers, you know, a trusted insurance person, or you have another operator there. Hey, do you know a property manager? And for the property manager, do you know a contractor? Right. And so you can continue to carry the narrative through referrals, because the referrals on all sides can be your best resource as long as the information coming from the start is good information.
And I would imagine you trust but verify that it's good information. You're going in, you're thinking about, hey, these are the people we're going to use. But I would imagine you have to validate that along the way. To your point, if they're not showing up ready to do the stuff every day, every time that something pops up, then you got to find a different partner or find somebody that can be there at the rate that you need them to be.
Yeah, you take property manager, for instance, you know, call some of their other properties, or when you're there, drive some of their other properties. How do they look? How do they perform? What is the initial premise? When you call, do they pick up the phone? How are you treated if you go into the office, right? Because you want to see that, because that philosophy is going to carry over to your property, right? So if they're one way on another property, they're probably going to be that same way on your property.
Well, and circling back to the problem at hand, you know, you had an issue with the water and everything, and it was the entire building. It's not just one or two individual units or people. Where if it's the latter like that, you probably have some vacancy rates or, you know, vacancy opportunities to relocate them temporarily to fix whatever is going on. But ultimately, this affected the whole building. So talk to me about, you mentioned communication to the residents. What was that like, and what were kind of the things that you had to do to help get them by until the permanent fix was in place?
Yeah. So of course we supplied a bottle of water across the board to all the residents right there. We set up alternate means that they can now take showers and use bathrooms and other points right there. And so we continue to keep them updated too, whether it be going door to door or text alerts or one in between here, just so they knew exactly what was happening, right? Because lots of times the worst case position to be in somewhere where you have no information, right? And so when something happens, we just kept them well informed to understand that we are working to a solution. And we are looking to find the solution. We may not have it yet, or we do, but here's the route that we're going to correct this problem.
And I would be interested, I don't know if you got this information or if you have it available to talk about, but I'd be interested to know what was the feedback from your tenants with the amount of communication and the solutions that you provided. I'm sure they were probably upset that what happened, but it was out of your and their control. But interested to know with the level of communication that you provided and the solutions you put in place to help mitigate the issues, what was kind of their feedback from the residents?
Yeah, they had an owner before this was so poor in responding, right? So any maintenance request, he was doing it all himself. And so the level of service prior to us was so poor and such at a subpar level that although this wasn't ideal, they were very happy of how we were handling it and how we approached the situation, because anything that had happened prior with the prior ownership was basically just a mute point, and they would stop calling because they knew that they wouldn't have the response back here. So for this, of course, not ideal. However, the way we handled it right here really solidified to the tenants that we were here to make a change and improve the building.
Well, and I would imagine that spoke volumes, not only for them, but when renewals came up for rent, people were probably very happy to sign back up, whereas maybe before they could have been reluctant or looking for other places. It's one other peace of mind to know that their owner, their property managers, they're working with them and finding solutions in a timely manner. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Well, Jason, I very much appreciate it. I think that's a fantastic lesson. You know, almost two in one with understanding that you got to have partners in place, boots on the ground, especially if you're out of state or far away from the location that you're going to be owning and operating. But also, communication is what's key to the people that are actually in these buildings that we're purchasing and going about, that we can't lose sight of, that this is a people business at the end of the day. And that is as important of any other pro forma that we're putting out there, is we got to do right by them. So I very much appreciate the lessons today, Jason. For those that want to follow up with you, partner with you, learn from you even, where's the best place for people to be able to reach out and find more information?
Yeah, sure. You can go over to yarusiholdings.com, YARUSIholdings.com. You can find everything from our contact to our podcast, a lot of information about us as a company here. And we'd love to hear from you.
Perfect. Yeah. And please, folks, go check out their content. It's second to none. It's good stuff out there. Jason, thanks so much for joining us today. We very much appreciate the time and the effort and the knowledge. So thanks so much, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And thanks everyone for joining us. We'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.